It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We're going to go somewhere on the Line of Fire broadcast today that somehow we've never gone before. We're going to raise a question that needs to be discussed and that from time to time comes up of great interest in the church. Certain times there's a greater focus on this subject than others. But I'm going to be asking you a question about Christians and demons and taking this subject further than we've done yet on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, I'm going to ask you the big question in a minute, but a little later in the broadcast, you need to be on the alert. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. Okay, we've got a giveaway, different than anything we've ever done also. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. You're going to have to identify what the passage is and then tell me why I'm reading it today. If you get it right, I will send you a free autographed copy of my commentary on Jeremiah. If you paid for it based on the hours I put into it, you couldn't pay for it, but it's my gift to you. So that's coming up later in the show. Okay, here's my question. I'd actually been mulling over this recently because of an article on the chief exorcist of the Vatican. Now, those of you who are Catholicators know that does not mean the guy who drives demons out of the Vatican. This is a Catholic priest, an old man now, who is the chief exorcist. This is what he does. He drives demons out of people. Now, some of you say, well, Catholics aren't saved. How can that be? And others, well, no, praise the Lord. He's a man of God. That's not our discussion. I saw an article about him. I actually got one of his books. I don't know if it's his only book, but a book of his stories of exorcisms. Just started reading it yesterday. I read lots of stuff. This is fascinating to me. And the Catholic Church, again, in the news in a negative way because of yet another sexual abuse scandal sweeping through Europe involving people even close to the Pope. And the Vatican saying, look, celibacy is not what's leading to this. The fact that we require our priests to be celibate is not leading to the sex abuse scandal, etc. I want to talk about that a little later because I absolutely believe it's wrong to require celibacy of those that are in Catholic ministry. And I believe it opens the door to lots of problems for these men and women. But it's another subject. I'm thinking about all these issues. And someone posted a question on Facebook the other day, asked me directly, and I thought, you know, I haven't dealt with this on the air. So here we go. Can a Christian be demon possessed? Can a Christian be demon possessed? We're talking about a truly born again person, not just a professing Christian. Can a Christian be demon possessed? 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? Now, as always, I'm going to give you different angles. Okay, angle number one. Of course not. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of, Christian being demon-possessed. Absolute nonsense. It's one point of view. Jesus is our Lord. We've passed from death to life. We're no longer under the power of Satan. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's not room for the Holy Spirit and the devil or demons inhabiting the same life. If 2 Corinthians 6 lays out that there can be no fellowship between Jesus and Satan and light and darkness have nothing in common, then how can a believer be simultaneously possessed by God? We've been purchased. We've been bought with a price. We belong to him. How can a believer be demon-possessed, possessed by Satan under Satan's power, and be a child of God at the same time? It's absolutely ludicrous. And when you get saved, if you were demon possessed, the demons have to leave because Jesus becomes Lord and he's going to take over the place. And you remember what happened to the false god Dagon, the god of the Philistines, when the Ark of the Covenant was put in his temple, that God displayed his power over him. And the priest came in and found this idol laying on his face, the head and feet chopped off, and realized, okay, Yahweh is powerful. We better bring the ark back. So Christian demon-possessed? Nonsense. Okay, that's one point of view. Here's another point of view. And we'll take your point of view at 866-34-TRUTH. And if you're saying, well, I'm not gonna call in yet because I want to wait for that special scripture reading and get a free commentary, a copy of the Jeremiah commentary. Well, hang on. We'll even allow someone to call back if that's the case. Just in case you're thinking, well, I was going to call. I have an opinion about this, but I want to wait for the free offer. Well, stick around. We'll even do something we never do. We don't let folks call, you know, twice, say, even in a week, obviously, but twice in a day, of course not. But we'll relax that rule today. All right. Answer number one, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Of course not. Absolute nonsense. Answer number two, oh, yeah, of course. Sure. You bet. You can be a believer and open the door to the devil, and the devil can take control. Luke 13th chapter, here's a woman. Jesus says she's a daughter of Abraham, and yet she's been crippled by a spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was Satan. Jesus said she'd be crippled by Satan for 18 years. She had a physical condition. And when Jesus pronounced freedom and the demonic power was broken, she was healed. You can be a daughter of Abraham, a son of Abraham, and be under the power of Satan. Look, there are many people under the power of Satan that are in the church. They give themselves to deception. They give themselves to sin. Next thing, they find themselves bound. Next thing, they find that they're unable to break away from a particular habit. Paul says in Romans 6:16 that whoever you yield to, you become the servant of. And certainly Satan does take control and dominate and destroy people, and yet can happen to Christians as well. Sure, Christians can be demon-possessed. If you're just turning in, you say, huh? Well, I'm giving different points of view. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? A third point of view is, it's the word you're using. It's the word you're using. The better way to translate the Greek is demonized. Demonized. And sure, a Christian can be demonized, meaning that they are not possessed by Satan, but they are under extreme satanic control. Their minds are tormented. They are bound by habits that they find themselves unable to break. Their body is attacked in different ways. They are under assault. They are, in that sense, under the power of Satan, even though they are not possessed by Satan. Now, here's the interesting thing. Those who say that a Christian can be demonized, or some would even say demon-possessed, will talk about experiences that they've had driving demons out of Christians. Maybe so-and-so always had this issue in their life, this extreme crazed anger, and they didn't know where it came from, and they kept giving themselves over to the Lord, and someone said, hey, you've got a demonic stronghold. We need to break the power of that thing in Jesus' name. And then suddenly the person started speaking in a language they never learned, and their eyes turned backwards in their foreheads, and whites of the eyes showed, and the person started then speaking back in English and cursing God and fell to the floor convulsing, and someone said, you know, Satan, I drive you out in Jesus' name, or whatever the demon, they drove him out in Jesus' name, and the person was completely delivered. You say, how could that happen for a Christian? Oh, those that minister in, quote, deliverance will tell you stories about this as long as you have time to listen to them, about demons coming out of Christians. You'd say, well, I'm not going to base anything on experience. I'm going to base things on the Word. And according to my understanding of the Word, it's impossible for a Christian to have a demon living inside of them to truly be saved at the same time. Is the demon living in the same place the Holy Spirit's living? Others say, no. Don't think spatially, because this is spiritual. You're thinking in too much physical terms. You don't understand the spiritual realm. This much I do know. Aside from the abstract question we're asking, we should understand how much power the devil has. That's a subject we've talked about in the past. And we should understand as believers what it means to be free. You're listening to me today. Are you free? Are you free or are you bound? As children of God, the only way we can be bound by a sinful habit or by a demonic power, if that's possible, we'll talk about that, is if we believe lies and yield ourselves to lies. Because in Jesus, we are overcomers. In Jesus, we have power to say no to the devil, no to the flesh, no to sin. And while we will not reach perfection in this world, we have everything we need to live for God in obedient, holy lives. Some of you are under extreme oppression to the point you can't sleep, you can't eat, you are tormented. Some of you have opened the door to sin and you don't know how to close it. Maybe some of what we talk about today will be of practical help to you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, did you have an experience of deliverance that was real? Or maybe you had an experience that was so wacky, far out, unscriptural that you didn't want to call and warn others. We'll take your calls. And when we come back, we will be giving away a free copy of the book, Jeremiah, my commentary on it. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today. Remember to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Visit us online at askdrbrown.org. Explore the website. Take advantage of the free resources there. Check out our online bookstore and contact us there. Just click contact. You can send a message, question. By the way, tomorrow, part of the show, I'll be doing an interview with a dear friend, former student Kobe Ferguson from Israel, giving you some fascinating updates from the land. And Thursday, I think I'm going to surprise some of you with a show. And part of the show I'm going to devote to what I appreciate about Calvinism. That's right. That's right. Okay, our question today, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Or as some would rather phrase it, can a Christian, we're talking about a truly saved person, be demonized? Do you have a scriptural insight, a yes or no answer, gut level answer? Or did you experience deliverance in some way? Like, I never believed in this until demons were driven out of me and now I've been changed. Or, yeah, I was in a church that was into that. That was the flakiest, weirdest stuff I ever saw. Well, we're open to hear your experiences as well as your scriptural thoughts. Now, before we take any calls, I said I'm doing something today I've never done before. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you, all right? Just the beginning of it. And if you can, here's what you need to do. You need to tell me where this is in the Bible. For some of you, you'll know it immediately. For some you're going to have to think or check. Where this is in the Bible and why I'm reading it today. If you get it right, you get a free signed copy of my commentary on the book of Jeremiah. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Hoi, called Sameh, Lechu Lamayim. Shein lo kasef lechu shivru vecholu. Oh, sorry. Reading it in Hebrew here, that may not help you. All right, let's wait. I've got a translation right here on my Hebrew Bible. I'm looking at. Here we go. Let's try this one. Vai, call it savi lemelaf yete vielaf u delet lake saf eto. Oh, sorry, that was the Aramaic translation paraphrase. All right, let's go to English. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That's the opening verse of a chapter in the Bible. What you need to do is tell me what the chapter is and why I'm reading it today. If you get that right, it is my joy to send you a free copy of my commentary signed on the book of Jeremiah, a nice, big, fat, hardcover volume that also contains commentaries on Ezekiel and Lamentations. So if you know that, I'm going to read one more verse. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So the first one who gets this, what passage am I reading, and why am I reading it today, March 16th, 1950? Nope, not 19. Oh, I must give you a little hint there. 2010. Aha, there was a hint, a secret hint there. All right, David in Charlotte, thanks for calling today.
Yeah, good afternoon. I missed a little bit of the, the introduction when you were giving three different, situations where people say Christians can be possessed, right?
Yeah, here's the simple. I said absolutely they can't, absolutely they can, or we shouldn't say demon-possessed, we should say demonized. Those are my three choices. Pretty simple.
Well, Well, I'm going to have to say they can't. Now, a lot of people use the word Christian loosely. A Jehovah's Witness I used to know used to call himself a Christian, but I'm a born-again Christian, and there's a lot of differences between what he believes and I believe. And I firmly believe, and I know for a fact that I can never be demon-possessed. If I could be demon-possessed, let's just say that I could, and that Satan had that much power where Christ is living in you, and he could overtake Christ, overthrow him, and take power of that person, how come none of the apostles were ever demon-possessed? And that would have been a great way to stop the spread of the early church, wouldn't you think? And I'll just take your response off air.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank
you. All right. So David's point is, if you're talking about actual possession, and again, we're talking about true Christians, all right, true Christians. If you're talking about actual possession with the concept of that the demon controls someone's life, then how could you be a child of God? How could Jesus be your Lord? How in any way could you be God's purchased possession and yet fully under the control of Satan? Now, some would say, well, hang on. Number one, even a demon-possessed person is not 24/7 under the control of Satan, but just certain areas of their life, they are under control of Satan. And others would say that's the wrong word to use. We want to use the word demonized because it means an intense demonic influence as opposed to possession. But if it is actual possession, then, of course, the question comes up, well, then how can you be possessed by God and possessed by Satan at the same time? Now, David, stick around because I'm going to be taking more calls before I answer, all right? But thanks for your point. Okay, Brian in Jeffersonville, Indiana, thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to, I had two things I wanted to bring up. First off, is it too early to answer the question that you posed earlier?
No. Go for it.
I was going to say that it's from Isaiah 55.
Got that right.
And, what's that?
You're right on that.
And I think the reason that you brought it up in 2010, and happy birthday, by the way, is that it's more of a scriptural prophecy about the coming of Jesus several hundred years later.
All right, Brian, you are so painfully close.
Oh.
That here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a signed copy of the reprint of Whatever Happened to the Power of God and It's Time to Rock the Boat. Just came out, 2 volumes in 1.
Okay.
Because you are so painfully close that my heart goes out to you. So when we're done, all right, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your info, and I want to send you out that brand new edition that just came out of those two books. Okay.
Sure. But thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, and you had a quick demon comment.
I just wanted to encourage people that are listening to the show to check out. And I turned the volume on the show down a little bit. I was listening through the internet. I turned it down while I was holding, so I may have missed if you already mentioned it. But I was just going to tell people to check out the Book of Job. And I know that he wasn't necessarily, demon possessed, but he obviously was under a lot of strife from Satan at that period of time.
Yeah, he came under severe demonic attack with divine permission. Question would be, how much is that a paradigm for believers today with authority in Jesus, etc.? But he came under severe, horrific assault that cost him everything. But hey, thank you for the birthday wishes and getting Isaiah 55 right. And now someone just has to say why today. So we'll keep you on hold, Brian. And Brian, when you realize that you were so near and yet so far, you'll kick yourself, but you'll enjoy the book that I send out to you. It may even minister to you even more than the Jeremiah commentary. Okay, Bill Harrisonburg, you're up next when we come back on The Line of Fire. Listen to these great words from the prophet Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money. Come, buy and eat, Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Boy, what a great chapter. Just 13 verses, Isaiah 55. Thanks for joining us today, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Our question for the day had to do with Christians and demons. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? I'd recently seen an article about the chief exorcist of the Vatican, an old man who's been in full-time exorcism ministry in the Catholic Church for decades now. Actually got his book to read the stories just purely out of curiosity. Yeah, it's another interesting subject. Someone asked me a question on Facebook the other day, can a Christian be demon-possessed? And I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about that on the air. So some would say, of course not, that's crazy, that's insane, even the thought of it is absolute nonsense. Others would say, yeah, you give yourself over to the power of Satan or you carry these things in when you're saved, and I know people have been delivered. Others say, nah, it's the word. Use the word demonized, which is closer to what the Greek actually says. 866-34-TRUTH. Today, though, we were doing something never done before. I read a passage of Scripture, and I've asked our callers, can you identify it, and then can you tell me why I'm reading it today? Now, our last caller got the passage right, Isaiah 55, and also wished me a happy birthday. It's my birthday today, March 16th, 316. Yeah, great, great day for Bible verses, starting with John 3:16, isn't it? But wish me a happy birthday, but couldn't tell me why I read Isaiah 55 today. But whoever gets it will be getting a free copy of my commentary on the book of Jeremiah signed. This is the first come, first serve on this one. So let's see if our next caller gets it right. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling today.
So you are 55 today, too, huh?
You got it, man. Boy, I felt so bad for Brian. He knew it was my birthday. He got the chapter. But just, and I almost slipped earlier when I said March 16th, 2010. I started to say 1955, which means, as it just dawns on me earlier, that I'm born in 55 and turned 55, so that you only do that once in a lifetime unless you live to be 155. So,
I was born in 55 and we'll turn 55 this year, too.
Well, hey, it's been a great day so far, man. In fact, for all of our listeners, I have some serious words of encouragement and exhortation to give you on my birthday today. So, Bill, you are the winner of the first ever 55-year birthday giveaway.
That's
Jeremiah
great.
Commentary. So, thanks. So, demon comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm not going to get into the scriptures because people have studied themselves crazy on this thing. But to talk about it through my experiences, what I've seen with other people and even in myself in my lifetime, that as a Christian, we can make the choice to open ourselves up to demon oppression. And I'm going to use that word as opposed to possession or being demonized. And, I have ministered to people who say, you know, I'm laying there in bed at night and I sense this demon spirit at the foot of my bed. And that's one of the ways that this would manifest. That kind of torment, and I think that we can do that through sins that we choose to partake of. The difference that I would make is that if you're talking about a non-Christian, they may need somebody to throw the demon out.
Uh-huh.
And whereas with a Christian, we have to know who we are in Christ. We can do two things. We can, number one, make a decision to repent, to turn away from that evil, mm-hmm. and then we can just tell the demons to leave. They got to leave. And so it's not possession because there's no way they can own us. We can take the power, but it takes a decision to repent and then just don't get lost.
All right, so someone could be legitimately oppressed and find themselves even enslaved, tormented. But if they are a child of God, they have the potential. They turn to God in repentance for wherever they open the door or the sin they committed that caused this evil power to have influence in their lives. And then in Jesus' name, they can take authority of this. So, but the symptoms in terms of what they're experiencing might be very similar to what an unsaved person experiences.
I think it could manifest itself in a lot of ways. When we open ourselves up to habitual sin, we open ourselves up to alcoholism or pornography or whatever, some of these various and sundry habitual sins, we're going to be tormented in the same manner that people in the world are going to be tormented. We have no business being there.
Got it. Got it. All right. Hey, Bill, thanks for the call and my joy to send out the commentary. Stay on the line. We'll get your
info.
It'll
be my joy to receive it, and happy birthday.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. All right. I thought Bill was going to nail it there. Brian, you'll enjoy the book I said you, but oh, it was so close. So close. All right. John in Salt Lake City, Utah. So did you have the right guess, or were you close?
Well, I thought I was close, but I heard him say it was your birthday. You're 55. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations. I did have a comment on the oppression. You know, you're oppressed as a Christian. I don't believe you can be possessed. For me, and I'll give you an example for me, because I walked away from God, and I committed sin, and I was so oppressed. I was so overwhelmed by the sin. I didn't believe I was possessed, but I believed that it overtook me as far as the sin, and it was hard to get out of that, but we did come out of it, and I don't believe that a Christian who's living for God can be possessed, because you got the Spirit of God in you, and you know you can't have light and darkness.
Right. So that would be a key thing. That word possessed. So someone could walk away from the Lord. That could happen to them, or they could come under real oppression. But to be possessed in terms of under the control of the devil,
you couldn't see that for a believer. Because light can't be in the. It's light and darkness. You either have Jesus in you, or you have the devil.
Got it. All right. Hey, John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. God bless you, brother.
Okay. You too, brother.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you have a different perspective? Do you say, no, Christians can be demon-possessed, and I know it, and I've seen them driven out. I've seen demons driven out of Christians. What were they being driven out of? Love to hear if you have another perspective. I'll give you my thoughts a little bit later in the broadcast. Bill in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dr. Brown. Hey, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
I had called earlier, and I didn't realize that was the answer. I was just going to call. My thought might have been on, I know yesterday you was touching on what do you need to do to know that you are saved, and that's a great passage to remember that the gift of God is free, salvation's free.
Yeah.
Come and drink from it, you know, and ask the Lord for forgiveness.
Yeah, hey, that would be an intelligent guess based on what I talked about yesterday. So, I appreciate the thought. That was, certainly, it's an amazing thing when you tell someone that out of all the sins they've committed, not only is God ready to completely forgive them, but that He sent His Son to pay for them. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
That's love beyond what we could imagine.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Bill, we got a break, but thank you for the call, and thank you for reminding me about the wonderful gift of salvation. You have a blessed day, man.
Thank you. You too, bud.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, stay with us. I've got some light to shed further on the demon question and some words of encouragement for you right here. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Yes, it is the annual birthday broadcast, March 16th. So for everyone celebrating a birthday today, I know every day people are celebrating birthdays, but blessings to you. 866-34-TRUTH is we talk about Christians and demons. Can Christians be demon-possessed? I'm going to give you my thoughts on this, and then I really want to give you a serious word of encouragement and exhortation for your own life, and I'll come to that in a moment. But first, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that I saw an article about the chief exorcist of the Catholic Church, its actual position, and decades of exorcist ministry that this fellow has had. And decided to get his book of stories just purely out of curiosity and to see what in the world he's seen, what's going on, and how do I analyze it? Is it really God's power at work? Are these really demons? How do I analyze it in the context of Catholicism? Just a read out of curiosity. But the Catholic Church is back in the news again. And if you listen to the broadcast, I'm not a Catholic basher. Really, I'm not an anyone basher. If someone's going to get my attention maybe for strong rebuke, it's those that are the exclusivistic, judgmental, self-righteous types that by God's grace you and I will not become. But otherwise, I'm not a President Obama basher or this group basher, that group basher. So I'm just sharing this in a constructive way. There's another major sexual abuse scandal sweeping through Europe. It's based in Germany this particular time. People that were in Catholic boarding school or different environment, choir, whatever the thing is, talking about being sexually abused by other men, etc. And one of the people is as close as you can get to the Pope in terms of family member, etc. There was another scandal in Italy with a man close to the Pope in the Catholic Church that himself was allegedly guilty of sexual sin. No one, of course, is accusing the Pope directly here. But the question is, does celibacy lead to this? The requirement that all priests are celibate, all nuns are celibate. Does this lead to abuse? I'm convinced it has to, friends. It has to. I appreciate the devotion of some men and women that say, I just want to serve the church and serve humanity and serve God, and that's their view. I'm not getting into disputes about Catholicism right now, okay? But I appreciate the devotion behind it and the spirit behind it where people say, yeah, I want to give myself without distraction, without hindrance to divine service, and therefore I will be celibate. And if Paul himself was celibate and that was his model, then following his model, and Jesus said that it's given to some, so I'm going to be one of those people. I do believe it is given to some. One of the greatest men of prayer of the last century, John Hyde, died in the early 20th century, known as Praying Hyde, never married. He didn't want to share his affections with anyone. Just he wanted to give his whole heart, soul, life, mind, body, spirit to the Lord and the Lord alone. I deeply appreciate that when it's called and a choice that someone makes, but to make it required puts people in a very unhealthy situation. Now, here's another factor. There are many men that enter seminary and enter the priesthood that find themselves same-sex attracted. They are not attracted to the opposite sex. They are attracted to the same sex. Catholicism would find homosexuality itself as a disordered condition, but homosexual practice to be sinful. So they say, I'm not attracted to women. To make a pledge of celibacy is not that difficult for me because I can't marry anyway. And I want to serve the Lord, and they're serious, committed Catholics, okay? This is not a secret that I'm telling you. But now they're in a situation where they are just around other males, and they have no outlet, and they have pledged themselves to celibacy. And you don't have just one or two of these men. You have many like this. I don't mean the majority of Catholic priests, but you have many out of the multiplied thousands of Catholic priests worldwide. It's only natural that you're going to have problems when you require celibacy. Now you say, oh, hang on, you just played into the hands of gay activists there because they would tell you that's why you need to legitimize same-sex marriage. No, that's a whole different story. Changing the definition of marriage, friends, is a completely, totally different story. And God's answer for the person with same-sex attraction is that there can be deliverance, freedom, healing, wholeness, whatever is needed, either in a celibate condition or changed to heterosexual desire by the power of God and by discipleship, wise counsel, etc., however it works out. Now, here's the deal. Since Catholicism has something set up already where it requires celibacy, you have kind of a plague of sexual problems. And the only reason we don't hear about it more is because it's more hidden under the surface. I appreciate the devotion of those that say, I want to serve and never marry. But I'm sure there's a better way. And let's really pray for these men and women that they'll find true freedom, healing, wholeness, and repentance if they've hurt others in Jesus. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Tomorrow, special update from Israel. You don't want to miss that. Thursday, at least at the outset of the program, I'm going to give an appreciation of what I like about Calvinism. That's right. And next week, God willing, 1 week from today, so next Tuesday, part two, be debating Sir Anthony Buzzard live about the deity of Jesus. He's a very gracious gentleman, but we've agreed to be gracious to each other, but to kind of take off the gloves and really get into the issue. So a lot coming up in the coming days. All right. First, my own thoughts about Christians and demon possession. I do not like to use the word demon possession and think it's better to say demonized, and that's almost literally what the Greek is. It may not be what some would call a translation, but it really literally conveys demonized. Can Christians, genuine Christians, be demonized? Yeah, it can happen where people open the door to the devil, where they commit sin habitually, and maybe other influences come in as well. They expose themselves to certain satanic, worldly, filthy things. They expose their minds, their hearts, their spirits, their bodies. Yeah, they can come under satanic power, but I really agree with many callers have made great points, but as Bill said earlier, Bill, the winner of my Jeremiah commentary with the correct birthday answer, but as a believer, if you truly turn to God and ask for mercy and repent, you can renounce any satanic stronghold in your life. You can break the power of Satan in Jesus' name and experience freedom, whereas an unbeliever needs to have someone come and set them free in Jesus' name. Can you be at the point where someone has to pray for you and minister to you? That can happen, but if you will truly cry out to God for mercy, he will set you free because we are under his power ultimately, and we can only be under the power of Satan in our lives to the extent that we open the door and yield areas of our lives to him. If you see that you're getting bound, if you see that this thing's not a little game anymore, you open the door to something, maybe a relationship, a wrong friendship, a wrong entertainment, something, and you realize this thing's starting to haunt you, grab you, torment you, chase you down, turn to God in repentance. Grab a friend, confess it to them, pray together, renounce the thing, break the power of it in Jesus' name. You'll experience freedom. Okay, so demon possessed, no, and I don't like to use that word. Demonized, sure, it can happen, but our ultimate freedom is found in Jesus, and there's no one that can steal that from us if we will yield to the Lord. Okay, closing word of encouragement, exhortation, as I turn 55 today, March 16th, so born in 55, turn 55. I had gotten off Facebook, social networking online, for many, many, many months, and had folks from our ministry handle the account, and recently got back on just to see if I could use it redemptively, be a blessing, put out some words of encouragement here or there, ministry updates, etc. Of course, it can interact with everyone that would like to interact, and I'd like to interact with you know, thousands of, quote, friends, but I knew on my birthday that I'd be hearing from a lot of folks, and began on Sunday, which was our anniversary, our 34th anniversary, and just been flooding through the day. I mean, scores, several hundred well-wishers. And many of them were former students. Some are missionaries now in different parts of the world. Some people that I don't even know, and they're thanking me that we're able to have an influence on their lives. Many thanking us for the Line of Fire broadcast. And here's what it reminds me of. You know, there's going to be a day when we stand before God, give account for our lives. And throughout eternity, we're going to be meeting people whose lives were touched by us. And when we see that and realize how much we could have done if we really went for it, we'll think of all the hours we wasted, all the silly pursuits, all the things that really didn't matter. And we'll say, boy, I want my life to count. So I just feel so deeply, with God willing, that the many years ahead that I have to serve him, I want my life to count more than it's ever counted. I want my life to make sense in the light of eternity. I've prayed so much recently, God, I'm going to redeem the time in these evil days. Give me a heart of wisdom so I can properly number my days. Can I encourage you to do the same and to ask yourself what really matters and to ask yourself at the end of your life, what will you regret and what will you be thankful for? Give your life to the things that make sense. You have a blessed day. Be back with you tomorrow.